Children's Church, I think it's that need to go to Children's Church, so more than welcome to go now for that. Okay, those of you that weren't here last week, we are busy talking about biblical principles. So last week we had a part one of that, and today will be part two. So basically just to help you to understand more or less where we're at. What we did last week is we spoke about biblical principles. And what is biblical principles? And by basically what we said is that it's almost like opinions. You know, all of us can have different opinions. But the thing about the Word of God that makes it different is it's not only an opinion, but it's truth. So although we've got different opinions about things, the Bible will also teach us the truth. That's more than just a normal opinion. So if we want to find out what is a biblical principle, we need to go to the Word of God, and we need to go and look in the Word of God, what it teaches us. And another plane coming over. And the reason why we look at biblical principles is because if we can see on the principles in the Word of God and we apply that into our lives, then it's like opening up a door for God to come in and helping us in that area. It's like opening up a door where the plans of God for our lives in that area can come to a place of fulfillment. That's why we look at biblical principles. And what we did last week is we spoke about financial biblical principles. And I think the thing that shocked quite a lot of people is if you really go and look in the Word of God, it shocks us to notice that how many places in the Word of God it talks about finances. Because there's about, to give you an idea, I said this last week as well, but there's about 1,200 scriptures in the Word of God that talks about finances or money. Can you just hang on with that slide for a moment, please? So there's about 1,200 scriptures in the Bible that talks about money. The next thing is 11 out of the 39 parables that Jesus spoke about was on finances or money. And the other thing which I found it quite interesting was to know that he spoke more about money than he spoke about love. It's almost like a scary thought because, the only thing he spoke more on was on the kingdom of God. And if you think about it, it's not because money was that important to Jesus or to God, but I believe it's because money is that important to us. It plays such a big role in our lives that it's necessary for him to talk that often about money. And the problem, if I can call it that, I think with us, maybe not only in this time, but even back then, we want to separate that from church. We want to separate our money from God. It's like we want to talk about Christianity and those kind of things, but we don't want to talk about money and finances in church. We don't like it. It's something we want to keep separate. But if we see how often Jesus spoke about it, then we must realize that it's necessary to talk about it and to see what the principles is around this. So what we spoke about last time, now you can put up the three principles, is we took out some principles out of the Word of God. And the first one was control your money, don't let it control you. The second one was give with the right heart or attitude, which is the key. And the third one is to be a good steward. So unfortunately today, we won't be able to go back to those and go into all of them and the scriptures around them. But it is uploaded on the website. So if you want to hear more about that, you can just download it and listen to it there. But basically what we spoke about when we talked about those things was when it comes to giving, because we realize we need to give. God expects us to give. But the key around it is how we give. That is very important. It's not just about our money. It's about the heart or the attitude we do it with. And also today what we're going to do, what I said we're going to do today, is to look at where are we supposed to give. Because if you think about that scripture of actually the parable of Jesus talking about the sower, we had the seed and he sowed it. We know that some of that seed fell in the path where that person was walking. Some of it on hard ground, other between the weeds, and only some of it fell on good soil. So what it means that although he was sowing, not all of that produced the harvest. And therefore it's important for us to go and look at biblical principles. So when we take out money and we give money, do we put it in the places where it's supposed to go? Because otherwise we're going to spend that money with no harvest coming from it. So that's what we're going to do today. And the easiest way to go look at where to put our money, where to sow, is basically to go and look at the three different categories you get when it comes to money. And that three categories, the first one is offerings, the third one is tithings, and the third one is alms. Alms not spelled A-R-M-S, but A-L-M-S. In Afrikaans, it talks about almose. I think the first time I heard a sermon, someone talking about almose, I thought, but is that even in the Bible? Because for me, it was something, I just didn't know the word. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what's the differences between them. And as we do that, we will understand where to give and the biblical principles around this. So the first one I want to talk about is offerings. And that will be our principle number four, is give offerings. Remember last week that the other three, so the fourth one is give offerings. It's a principle that God shows us out of his word, something we need to do. The word offerings in the, I went and looked in the King James Version, you find it 724 times. Now the scripture I want to use for this is Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So if you just look at that scripture, you can see God talking about this. And what he's basically saying is he's expecting offering from us. But also if we look at the scripture, what we can see is that he's not just saying, okay, money, I want money or something like that. But he's making a difference between tithes and offerings. So in that scripture you can realize, but it's not the same thing. Now, if we ask the question, if we talk about offerings, so what does God expect? When we bring an offering, is there an amount or percentage or anything like that that he's got in mind? The answer is no, there's not. Because nowhere in the Bible you'll find a scripture telling you when it comes to offering, I'm not talking about tithings, when it comes to offering, nowhere in the Bible you'll find a scripture telling you how much you're supposed to give. And the reason for that is simply because when it comes to offering, for God it's not about the money. It's about your heart. It's about the heart you bring it with. And the scripture that just shows it, you can go read it on your own, is Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. That's the scripture of where Jesus is sitting in the front of the temple, where the people are coming up bringing offerings to the front. There's this big box in the front and people walking up, putting in their offerings. And while Jesus is sitting there, he noticed a woman, an old lady walking up, putting in two coins into that box. That's the thing he noticed, is this lady walking up. It says there was a lot of rich people coming up, putting in a lot of money, but he noticed her. And the reason for that is because it's not about the amount. Jesus is not talking here about the person that brought the most money to the front, that put the most money in the box. He talked about this one old woman coming to the front. So the thing he noticed about her is her heart. And the interesting fact, I think if we, I just want to let you understand, I think our idea by sometimes is with money, regarding money and finances. If I ought to tell you this morning, okay, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to make a huge box and put it here in the front. And from now on, what we're going to do is every Sunday you must come to church and you bring your offering and you bring your tithing and you'll walk up to the front and you come and put your money in this box. What's going to happen? We're going to think, hey, is it all about money now? We're going to think, but yes, but why put such a focus on this thing of money, putting a box in the front and doing all of that? But actually, it's biblical. We saw it in the Bible. So what I want you to understand is our thinking is not biblical. To give you another example, if you think about Jesus, if you think about where would you find Jesus, if you go look in the Bible and you go and read at the places where you could find Jesus, we'll say, well, he was between the poor people. He was always out on the streets, on the hills, and next to the Sea of Galilee, between the poor, between the people that really needed him. You would have found him in all of those places. But what we also saw here is Jesus sitting in the front of the temple next to this box where people put their money in. So if you ask people, but would you find Jesus around money, to the place where people come to bring their money, then normally we would think, no, we won't. But in the scripture, what we see is Jesus sitting right there. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, did God change? Did God change? No, he didn't. So just like Jesus could have, you could have found him at that place of offering, today is exactly the same. But for us as Christians, it's like we've got all these different ideas of how holy God is, and he is. Of how he'll be there while we're busy worshiping in the front of the church while the music is playing. I think we can, in that times, we can imagine God being in this building. But when we get to the time of offering, when we get to the time of just sharing a scripture on money, on offering, and when we send that little bags around, do you expect to meet with God there? Because what we see in this scripture is that God can also be found in that times, in that places. And the interesting thing, I think, if you just look at it, I think the thing we're missing is that giving offering is also part of worship. And we don't realize it. Because for us, it's like we think, but it's just about giving money. It's just about putting something out there. But it's part of worship. Because basically what it is that place where we go and where we declare with our offering, where we say, God is all about you. God, everything I've got today is because of you. God, out of everything you gave me, I'm giving you back something just to honor you and just to praise you. Offering, part of worship. Listen to the words of David here in Psalm 96, verse 7 and 8. Do yourself a favor and go read the whole of Psalm 96. But verse 7 and 8, just listen to this. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You see, bringing offerings to God is part of worship. And yes, when we bring offerings, it's not always necessarily money. Giving our time to God can be part of offering. But most of the places when we go and look in the Word of God at offering, of places and where people are bringing offering, is talking about physical things that they brought to God. But offering is part of worship. So the next principle we're going to look at is tithing. Also, the Bible refers to first fruits. And so principle 5 will be give tithing or give first fruits. And before I want to read the scripture of that, there's just a movie clip I want to put up there. So just have a look at this.
Eight years ago, I planted the lemon tree in my yard, and we were reading the Old Testament. And what it says is the first 3 years, you're not to harvest the crop. But the fourth year, you harvest the crop, and then you give the first fruits to God. Now, the fourth year in that lemon tree had 12 lemons. So I took the best lemon, and I washed it, and I took my pen, and I wrote first fruits on that lemon. And I took it to church on a Sunday, and I dropped it in the offering. Okay, now 4 years later, our other tree still produces regular-sized lemons. But the tree we tithed on now produces only this size lemons. It doesn't produce any medium-sized or small lemons. It only produces these. God's word is true. Man, he says that he'll give you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. And man, this is just a result of obedience. Man, try and see.
What do you think about that? I'm going to give you a scripture, Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You know, the only scripture in the Bible, there's no other scripture where God tells us to come and test him on this, on his word. The only scripture in Bible where God comes and tells us, test me in this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I expect from you and see what I will do. What that man did is he tested God on his word. But it's the only place in the word of God where God is giving us basically the invitation of testing him. Is in this verse on finances, of giving our tithes. Now, I think another interesting thing about money or about tithing is so often you hear when we talk about tithing, people will say, yeah, but you must remember now, tithing is part of the law. So we don't have to tithe anymore. So, okay? Do you know in the law it also says, thou shalt not kill? So are we supposed to kill now to make sure that we're not under the law? Thou shalt not steal. Are we supposed to steal from people now to make sure we're not under the law? But it's very easy to take one part of Scripture and to build an idea around it. And the interesting thing about tithing is the first place you'll find it, or an example of this, is in Genesis 14, long before the law. And another interesting thing about tithing is you'll find the idea of tithing also in the mouth of Jesus. In Matthew 23, verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Not saying to them, you Pharisees, why are you still under the law or anything like that? But what he's basically doing in that verse is he's telling us, listen, I still expect tithing from you. But actually today I expect more from you than just tithing. I expect more from you than just giving your money. And if you look at the things he spoke about, he talks about justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So what he's basically saying here is he's saying, listen, I want more from you than just tithing. I want you. I want to be visible in you. Don't think you can only come and give me your money a tenth of what you've got, I want to be visible in you. I want to be glorified not only by your giving, but I want to be glorified by everything you do. Never saying that he don't want our tithing. Because you see, God still expects that tithing from us. And if you look at that scripture, it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So now the next question normally with when it comes to finances or tithing especially, what we like to say is, okay, but you see, when I take my tithe, what I do is half of that I'll give to the church, and the other half, there's this great institutions out there doing great work, so I'll use that to help those people and those places. But it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. What is the house of the Lord? It's a church. That's the house of the Lord. So what he's asking us is that the full tithe need to come to him, to his house. And you know, there was a time in my life that I wasn't too sure about this whole tithing thing. I can tell you about a stage in my life where I also wanted to believe that it's part of the law, so that I don't have to do it. There were stages in our lives where things were quite difficult and so on. And I remember in those times, normally my wife will just come to me and ask me, but you know, are we still tithing? And there was this one place in our lives where we were at the, where basically what we did is we sold our business and our house and our car and everything. And for 3 years, we were working with people on the streets. And during that time, I thought by myself, but God, I gave you so much more than just a tenth, so much more than just 10%. So when I get something in today, say for instance, I get into 500 rand, because it was really difficult times back then. Surely God didn't expect me to give 50 rand now out of this 500 rand, because I mean, I gave him everything. I sold everything to be able to work with these people on the streets and stuff. And what happened is we got to a stage where it was really going bad. And my wife asked me, so she said to me, but I don't understand this. Are we still tithing? And I had to say no. Because you know, I reckoned and I thought, but we're here and we gave everything, so it's not necessary. And I think some of you guys, maybe you know that feeling of when you're in trouble, and you know you're in trouble, and you try and get yourself out of it, but you also know you're not going to get out of it. For me, it was one of that places. And all I did is I repented to God, asking forgiveness, and just carried on giving tithing again. And everything turned around. Everything changed. Because you see, God gave us the ability to make money, to have the income. And what we do when we give a tithe is we glorify him for that. It's that place of saying, Lord, I acknowledge you in my life. I realize that I'm having this income because of you. And I'm just coming at this station. I'm bringing it back to you, what you asked from me. But with the scripture, there was a time where, in that time when I was really busy trying to figure out and basically trying to find a loophole around the scripture so that I don't have to give a tithing. And I saw here, but okay, but it says here that there may be food in my house. And I'm going to tell you what I thought. I reckon, you know, Lord, in that time while we were feeding people on the streets, but God, the church is not fulfilling its purpose. Because he talks there about food. So obviously this food must be for the people on the streets that don't have any food. So it's probably talking about this. And I think the church is not fulfilling its purpose. Therefore, I don't have to give my tithe and I can go give it straight to the people on the streets. That's what I thought. And then God led me to a scripture, 2 Chronicles 31, verse 10. And it says here, Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since I began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left." Now I thought to myself, okay, so that we've got that scripture in Malachi where it talks about the food in the church, and here it talks about the people, the priests, that have eaten. And I went and read this whole scripture, the whole of 2 Chronicles 31. I went and read that. And in verse 12, I saw when he talks about the contributions, here in verse 12, it says that contributions was offerings, tithes, and dedicated things. Now, dedicated things was things like gold and silver that they brought to the temple. So you couldn't eat that. So the food they were referring to came from the offerings and the tithes. And when I went and read this whole scripture about it, what I actually saw was these people, they brought their tithes to the church, to the temple. And because of that, they were food for the priests. So that's what happened with the tithes. It was basically to provide for the house of the Lord. So in today's terms, what tithing is for is to pay the rent, to pay the salaries, to pay the telephones, that kind of stuff. And you see that the reason why it's so important, why God actually expects us to bring our tithes, our full tithes, to his house, is for his house to be sustained. It's so that the purpose of church can be fulfilled. Because you see what happens when it comes to this kind of thing, I think something we don't always realize is that the thing that God is most passionate about is his church. Jesus died for his church. That's what he's passionate about. And the reason for that is because the church is God's plan. It's not man's plan. It's God's plan of reaching the world. It's the tool that God uses to disciple people, to raise people up, to go out into the world and make a difference. And what we do when we bring our tithe to church is basically, it's like we're going in a partnership with God. We're saying, God, this is your vision. This is what you've decided you want to do. And Lord, I want to partner with that. You've got this vision of reaching the world, and you asked us for our finances to be able to do that. And I just come into that place, Father, of partnering with you to do this. That's what tithing is all about. And now we get to that place where we ask, but what about the people on the streets? What about the people that's out there that don't have food and that kind of stuff? This is where it's actually quite interesting. This is where alms comes in. Almoser. Almoser beteken om te gee vir die armes. Alms meaning to give to the poor. Luke 12 verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. If you go to the King James Version where the ESV says, sell your possessions and give to the needy, the King James says, sell your possessions and give alms. Because alms is meaning, what it means is give to the needy. Acts 10 verse 4, and he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. You see, same as that other scripture that we've used about where the woman came to the front with the two coins. We see the same thing here. Someone being noticed because of what they bring. We see someone being noticed because of the offering or the alms that they bring to God. And the reason for that is because in that moment of giving, it's our hearts that get revealed. Because you see, when we're out there in the streets and we give food or money or something to someone that's in need, it just exposes our hearts. It shows the mercy that we've got for the people around us. And that's something that will always touch the heart of God. And so often we think, but it's about how much we give. So often we think, but the more I give, the greater God will feel about this or something like that. But it's not about that. It's about the hearts we do it with. The last scripture I want to read is Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. JP, you can come to the front. So whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So basically what we see there is God saying, but the moment you put your hand in your pocket, you take out money, and you give it to the needy, it's like you're borrowing it to God. And God said, but I will repay that. And why is that? Why is it that God feels that way when we operate in that kind of way? Why is it that it stirs God's heart that much when we give? And the answer is plain and simple. God chooses to use people to reach other people. So yes, God can send down angels to give food and stuff to people. What he does, what he preferred to do, is he chooses to send me and you to make a difference in the lives of people. And in that moment, you are an extension of God. Because so often we say, but we are the hands and the feet of the Lord. But what does it mean? You see, so often our giving, our reaching out to people around us is the only place where people will experience the love of God. It's the only place where people will realize, but God actually loves me. He sees me, he noticed me, he knows about me, and he cares for me. Because he sent someone to me to make a difference. So let's just recap these principles that we've put down. If you can just put them on the board, please. The first one we said is control your money. Don't let it control you. The second one, give with the right attitude. The third one, be a good steward. Number four, give offerings. Five, give tithes. And number six, give alms. Now this morning, it's very important for all of us to make sure that our focus is in the right place. Because we can think about the scriptures and we can think about everything that was said. And we can think it's all about giving. But it's actually not about giving. It's about the one we're bringing it to. It's about the one we're giving it to. It's all about God. And when God looks at us, for him, it's not about the gift. It's all about the giver. Because you see that when it comes to this kind of thing, for God, it's not about what we bring to him. It's all about the heart we do it with, because that's the thing he's after. It's after my heart, it's after your heart. And the question you need to ask yourself this morning is, does God have your heart? Because he doesn't want our finances. He wants us. All finances do a lot of times just show where our hearts is, whether it's with him or not. But it's all about God wanting a relationship with me and you. And therefore, he's inviting us to open up our hearts and to come closer to him. Can I ask you, everyone, just close your eyes while we're sitting here. Does God have your heart? Are you at a place where you can say, but I gave my heart to Jesus at some stage, And yes, still today I'm living for him. Or are you at the place where you want to say this morning, but no, God, I don't have my heart? So while everyone's eyes are closed, I just want to ask the question. Is there any person here, sitting here this morning, where you want to just say this morning, but no, God, don't have my heart, and I want to change that this morning? Then you can just raise your hand. Any person. Okay, you can put your hand down, thank you. Is there any more people that's in that place this morning, just saying, but no, God, don't have my heart, and I want to give it to him this morning? Or maybe you were at a place where you say, but, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus at some stage, but I'm not living for him. And this morning, I just want to turn around to that place of putting him first in my life, where I realize it's all about him, and not about anything else, any person like that. Thank you, Father, that we can just be together in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can know that it's not about money. It's not about our giving. It's all about you. Yes, Father, we realize that the principles in your word when it comes to giving is important. But you're looking out for us. You want to reach us. You want to reach our hearts. And thank you, Father, for the invitation this morning just to come closer to you again. So, Father, this morning we just want to give you all the glory for everything you did in our lives. This morning, Father, we just want to give you all honor. Thank you, Father, that I can just declare in this place and this time this morning that you are my provider. Thank you, Father, that we can declare that you love each of us and that you've paid a price for each of us. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can go out of this building today, and while we do that, Father, I just want to bless every person that in this coming week that they will really experience you and that they will really experience your love, your closeness. That every person going out will realize that you care for them deeply and you love them deeply. And in the same way, you love those and care for those all around them. So, Father, my prayer for this morning is as we go out today that you'll be glorified in everything we do through our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to ask those people that put up your hands now afterwards, please just come to the front that we can pray with you. And if there's anyone else that needs prayer for anything, more than welcome to come to the front. And in the back, there's nice coffee and tea and cupcakes. So enjoy. Thank you.